This show is pre-recorded. We won't be taking any calls.
This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. There's no food more locally produced, sustainable, and economical than breast milk. August is National Breastfeeding Awareness Month. The breastfeeding campaign hopes to encourage women to commit to breastfeeding by highlighting new research showing that babies who are exclusively breastfed for at least 6 months are less likely to develop ear infections, diarrhea, and respiratory illnesses, and may be less likely to develop childhood obesity. Not all moms can breastfeed, but most can and should get the support from all of us to do so. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. You know, KidsData.org reports that Bay Area mothers have been exceeding the California breastfeeding rates. In 2007, as in previous years, mothers in the Bay Area were more likely than mothers statewide to breastfeed in the hospital after giving birth. You can check out the results at kidsdata.org or on our Facebook page, where you'll also find resources and services in the Bay Area and beyond. There are many reasons why babies and moms benefit from breastfeeding. A mother's milk is the perfect food for newborns, with just the right amount of fat, sugar, water, and protein and other nutrients. Breast milk also has antibodies in it to help infants fight off infection and disease, and breast milk is free. And with the high cost of food these days and people really worried about the economy, it's just another great advantage. Today, we'll take your questions about breastfeeding your baby and hear your stories. We also want to discuss ways to introduce quality, solid food that also saves money. Dads or partners, let us know how you support the new mom in your life, and please do call and let us know of any resources that have helped you. The phone lines are open toll-free, 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. And you can email us during the show or anytime at info@childhoodmatters.org. We have books and passes to give away today, so do give us a call. This program is made possible in part by funding from Kaiser Permanente. Joining us in the studio is Georgia Montgomery. She's a perinatal health educator at the University of California, San Francisco Medical Center and Kaiser Permanente in San Rafael, as well as founder and program director for the Parents Center in San Rafael. She's also a member of the Marin Breastfeeding Coalition and volunteers for the Family Service Agency of Marin. She teaches classes such as newborn care, breastfeeding, infant child CPR, and pediatric first aid. Georgia Montgomery is the mother of three adult children. Welcome to our show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Wonderful to meet you. Also with us is Rosario Sandoval Galvan. She is a public health nutrition associate for the Santa Clara County Public Health Department Women, Infant, and Children Program, better known as WIC. She's a public health nutrition associate and international board-certified lactation consultant. Rosario Sandoval Galvan is the mother of a 2.5-year-old. Thank you for joining us. And, you know, it's really wonderful to see you, and I know that you have a little one at home, so
yes.
Special thanks for getting here this morning.
Thank you.
So we'll start with you, Georgia. Tell us some of the basics. Why is it so important that women do the best they can to breastfeed their babies?
Well, Rona, the benefits are not just to the babies, but it's also to the moms. For the babies, as you mentioned, lowered risk of respiratory illnesses, colds, flus. They are also at a lower risk for certain childhood cancers. It does boost their immune system to have breast milk in their systems. Less asthma, it lowers the risk for SIDS as well. But for moms, it's also good because it lowers the risk of breast cancer. The longer they breastfeed, the lower their risk for breast cancer.
Oh, so with my four kids, I'm at low risk then.
I think you're in better shape than you might have been.
Yeah,
absolutely. And there are other kinds of cancers that can prevent in moms, uterine cancer for one, and it actually increases bone density for moms while they're lactating, which is kind of interesting.
You know, the other thing I want to ask you, Georgia, is I was talking to my dear friend Michelle last night, who's a lactation consultant, and she was saying how important it is for babies to be put right on mom's chest right after birth, and, you know, that it's skin to skin. Tell me, are you hearing that that's being done in the hospitals? Are women allowed to have their baby right on them, and the baby can search around for the breasts if they want to?
Yes. More and more parents are asking for that because they're finding out, mostly in childbirth classes or newborn care classes that they're taking, that there's actually a chemical reaction that happens when you put baby skin to skin with you. And that means the bigger part of baby's chest on your bare chest and put a blanket over both of you. The chemical reaction is such that the stress hormone called cortisol actually is lowered in babies, but also in parents, which is nice. And cortisol has been found to interfere with the immune system. So actually having your baby on you, skin to skin, is boosting their health. And not just moms, but just after birth, partners or dads can also put baby skin to skin on them when they get into the postpartum unit, put a blanket over them. The bonding, the sniffing, and that little bobble-headed cute thing that babies do is just so delightful, and it's great for bonding.
You know, I was a postpartum nurse for a long time, and I worked in the nursery also, and I remember I used to come a little stressed out. I worked the evening shift, and I would hold a newborn, and all of a sudden, all my stress went away. Now I understand it. My cortisol was going down.
Exactly.
Good. Well, thank you for that, Georgia. We'll be talking more about that, too. Rosario, tell us a little bit about WIC and what it provides for pregnant women and new moms, and how you've been encouraging women to breastfeed through WIC also.
Okay, well, thank you. Yes, WIC is, first of all, is a women, infant, and children program. So the women are in the program during the pregnancy, after they have their baby, of course, infants and children up to the age of five. So during their pregnancy, we make sure we offer at least one breastfeeding class. We have dietitians and nutrition assistants that make sure that every time they see them during the pregnancy, they are provided breastfeeding support, answering any breastfeeding concerns they have. We also have something added to the program. I think it's been a couple years in a lot of the WIC programs that we provide peer counseling support. So the moms get calls before they deliver, after they deliver, and we just continue the breastfeeding support after, as there's a support line that they could call. So we want to make sure that we provide as much breastfeeding support as possible.
So they're really getting help not only from the professionals, but from other peers, from other people.
Yes.
How does someone qualify for WIC? People don't really understand that, and I want people to understand that they may be able to get these services and they don't realize it.
Yes. Even if a mom is working or family parents are working, they might still be eligible for the WIC program by calling. There's a special number that they could call. I believe it's 1-800-WIC-WORKS, or they could look at a website. So they could apply for the WIC program. They could call and apply, get more information. From there, they'll find out if they're income eligible, if they live within that county, if they're in a category, of course, served by WIC. And then once they're in the, once they come in, they get screened. If they're eligible for the WIC program, they start the nutrition services at that time, the breastfeeding support, the nutrition services.
So it's really about making sure that people who might be lower income, in a sense, or have some other need because of nutrition, that they get what they need and their baby gets what the baby needs.
Yes.
That's right. So it's a real nutrition program.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Yes. Well, if people have questions about WIC, we have an expert here, Rosario, with us, so she'll be glad to talk with you. We want to hear from you, 877-372-KIDS. Call us with your breastfeeding questions or comments and tell us how you introduce solid foods into your little one's life or how breastfeeding is going with you. We're going to start off with our live line this morning. We have Hillary from Mill Valley with us. Good morning, Hillary.
Hi, Rona. Good morning. How are you?
Good. You're up and well this morning?
I am up. I am well, and I am breastfeeding.
Okay. As we speak, huh?
Yeah, I'm so happy to have the show this morning, Rona. My little girl, Catherine, is 11 and a half months old, and I've been breastfeeding since she was born, and I'll continue breastfeeding. And my question is, you know, now she has four teeth, and it's, you know, I'm definitely committed to continue breastfeeding, but it is a challenge, I have to say. And
what does she do, Hillary?
Excuse me?
Does she actually bite?
Yes, she does. Yep. And also just the experience of her latching on has its painful elements too, because of the teeth. But I have to say, over the last couple of months, that problem has diminished because I think I've just become accustomed to it. But the biting, I have not become accustomed to.
And you shouldn't, Hillary. You shouldn't. Do not become accustomed to it, okay?
So, yeah, any advice or insight you have on, like, how to dissuade Catherine from biting?
Right.
It's so great.
And of course, you know not to bite back, right? So let's hear from Rosario right now.
Hi, Hillary.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning. Well, I had the same experience because I'm nursing my 2.5-year-old. So I praise you for you continuing to breastfeed and planning to continue, and hopefully baby won't bite anymore. Well, one of the things that I've learned with breastfeeding is also discipline comes into place. Really communicating with your baby of things that you do not want her to continue. One is when she's wanting to bite. Hopefully she's showing you a certain sign that she's going to be doing that. And you look her straight and say no without smiling. Because many times if we smile, they love our smile. So they'll continue doing that. So either a firm, assertive way of either removing her or just looking at her, say no. And babies are very respectful. She will be willing to respect that and not continue.
Good. Let's get other opinions here. And I just want to welcome KBBF, and you're listening to a show on breastfeeding. So if you have your stories, your questions, please join us. Georgia, talk about biting.
Yeah. Another idea is actually based on personal experience while I was in a restaurant discreetly feeding my baby, but it was kind of an upscale restaurant, and I was bitten. And I let out a yelp that the entire restaurant could hear. I think some poor fellow dropped a tray because it was quite loud. And I looked around like everyone else did, going, oh, I wonder who that was. But it was me, and I was not happy. And I realized that he stopped instantly when I let out that yelp. Mm-hmm. So the other thing I decided to do whenever he did that was instantly release and wait for a minute. And frowning at the baby, they really do know how to read your face.
Oh, yes.
So instead of just not smiling, I actually frowned at him. Of course, that was genuine. I was not happy at being bitten. So that's, you know, I mean, just, you know, a loud noise.
Real feedback. This is not okay.
Yeah.
So, Hillary, thinking about that, have you given that clear message when she bites?
Well, I have yelped. I definitely have, like, really let out some, you know, good vocalization of distress. And in terms of pulling her off and...
waiting a minute?
Yeah, or also, you know, frowning at her. I haven't been so consistent with that piece of it, so I could definitely try that.
Yeah, she hears you now. She doesn't like what we're talking about at all.
Yeah, no, she's adjusted to get back on that breath.
Right, but I think that's the key, and it's such a model for all of parenting in the sense that kids don't always know what's okay and what's not okay, and it's really our job to give them that feedback. And it's not okay to hurt mommy, and she's not doing it intentionally to hurt you, but you can usually catch right before they're going to bite, you get your finger in there, you know, to disengage, and you give a clear message that's not okay, wait a little bit, and then go ahead and nurse and let her nurse again. And if she does it again, it might be really worth stopping for right then. Let her be upset if she's upset, and then you can comfort her back again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's giving that feedback, and again, we get better at it as we go along. So you're learning that right here, right now.
Yeah, yes. Thank you so much.
Georgia?
You know, she mentioned the word, Hillary, if you're still there, mentioned the word consistency, and that gets back to what Rosario said, which was this is sort of the beginning of discipline, mm-hmm. healthy, loving discipline, and consistency yes. really is the key
yeah.
on all levels.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it's great that you're willing to tolerate this right now and continue breastfeeding. And I wish you lots of luck. Let me know if it's working, and I'll be glad to talk to you offline also.
Oh, thanks so much, Rona. I really appreciate your show today.
And do you have breastfeeding books? Because I have a lot here, but you may already have them.
Yeah, you know, I do. She's. I've been lucky. I've inherited a number from some friends. So thank you.
Good. So we'll just send you some great tickets to the Bay Area Discovery Museum. I know it's in Sausalito. It's a great
yeah.
place to go with your daughter. Take good care.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's take another call now. We have Stephanie from Pittsburgh with us. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Hi. You're on your cell phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We can still hear you. Go ahead and ask your question, Stephanie.
Well, I was wondering, I think you guys saying that breastfeed exclusively for 6 months, but
yeah.
I was wondering if I give formula also, does it still have the same effect for this baby in terms of her health?
Good question. And because it's a little hard to hear you, I'm just going to turn you down here a little. But this is a really good question. And before our experts talk, I want to say, as a mom of 4 kids and I breastfed my kids, there were times that I gave them formula because I needed to. Maybe I wasn't expressing enough or I was going away. I just want to make sure people know that, you know, it's recommended to have the exclusive breastfeeding, but it doesn't mean in any way, shape, or form that you're bad if mm-hmm. you give formula.
Yeah.
But I think her question is more about the health benefits, even if you are giving some formula. Rosaria?
The benefits for the baby and the mommy, yes. There's a lot of benefits that as women we continue getting, again, reducing the risk of breast cancer, as Regina had mentioned. There's a lot of benefits that you will continue getting because you are breastfeeding and the baby will continue receiving as well. We do encourage in the WIC program to avoid baby food until 6 months. So if you could at least avoid the baby food till 6 months. But if you did the supplementing, as long as we try to do more breast milk than formula. But again, even any breastfeeding we recommend, but you're doing more breastfeeding, and that's even more benefits.
Good. So your baby's still getting the immune, positive immune response
yes.
here in terms
yes.
of having the antibodies. Some babies, if you introduce formula too early,
yes.
will get more frustrated than with breastfeeding sometimes. So it's really important. Georgia,
yes.
what do you recommend to parents in terms of trying to wait before they even introduce anything else, if at all?
Well, in terms of the benefits of breast milk versus formula, and I think if you need to use formula, thank goodness we have it, because babies do need to thrive. Mm-hmm. They do need nutrition. But I really feel that, you know, after all of the studies that I've read and the things that I've seen and heard, formula is going to give your baby nutrition. Breast milk is going to give your baby more health benefits, and the recommendations are that it's a minimum of exclusive breastfeeding at 6 months, ideally a year if you can.
And in other countries, it's 2 years.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
This is very low.
Stephanie, are you getting support for breastfeeding? So I don't know if Stephanie's still with us.
I am still with you.
Good. Are you getting support to do breastfeeding, you know, from other people, from your family?
From coworkers.
Yes. Yeah, so mm-hmm. you have to also deal with pumping then, or bottle feeding, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and it's a real challenge for people who are working to keep breastfeeding. So the fact that you're still doing that is really terrific.
As long as she's still getting the health benefits from breastfeeding, it's fine for me. I just didn't know if it was okay to give formula too.
Yeah, and again, everyone is different in this. Some women will pump so that they only have breast milk mm-hmm. for their babies. Other people will supplement with formula. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, Rosaria, WIC, you just really encourage people to do what they can.
Yes, we could provide a lot of support for you. There's actually in our website, WIC Works website, you could refer to a lot of some ideas.
Good, and we'll give you the book, The Nursing Mother's Companion by Kathleen Huggins. Stephanie, thanks so much for calling, and we'll talk to you again, I hope.
Thank you.
This show is pre-recorded. We won't be taking any calls.
You're listening. listening to Childhood Matters.
Information for your kids.
For your family.
For you.
Give us a call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
The conversation continues after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Santa Rosa families get a free back-to-school checkup at the Kaiser Permanente Stein Medical Campus today, August 1, from 8 to 3. For more information, call 707-566-5396. That's 707-566-5396. See what's new at the Exploratorium in San Francisco. Free admission is offered Wednesday, August 4, from 10 to 5. For more information, call 415-561-0399. That's 415-561-0399. Enjoy a free family movie in Walnut Creek. The Contra Costa JCC is showing Flipper Thursday, August 5, from 6:30 to 8:30. For more information, call 925-938-7800. That's 925-938-7800. Teens and preteens, visit the South Novato Library for a youth-only event. There will be computer games, Wii, and food Friday, August 6th from 1 to 4. For more information, call 415-506-3165. That's 415-506-3165. Watch a movie under the stars at Vasona County Park in Los Gatos. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is showing Friday, August 6th from 8:30 to 11. For more information, call 408-354-2608. That's 408-354-2608. Join Nurse Rona for a parenting workshop at Bananas in Oakland. She will present on how to yell less. Sign up early, Thursday, August 12th from 6:30 to 8:30. For more information, call 510-658-658. That's 510-658-0381. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Zan West.
Are you pregnant and thinking about how you will feed your new baby? Breast milk is the perfect nutrition right from the start. It's free, always ready, and supports growth and brain development. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends only breast milk for the first 6 months of a baby's life. Breastfed babies have fewer illnesses and fewer trips to the doctor. Mothers who breastfeed lose pregnancy weight faster and have lower risk for breast and ovarian cancers. Be sure to tell your health provider that you want to breastfeed your baby.
Made possible by your local First Five.
One of the hardest things a parent faces is how to set clear limits with love. Here are some tips to keep in mind. Have clear rules and expectations. Have reasonable consequences for misbehavior and acknowledge respectful behavior. And try to understand why your child is acting out. Is it stress or anxiety? For more information and tips on how to discipline your child, visit www.childhoodmatters.org. And remember that world peace begins at home. This message is brought to you by the David B. Gold Foundation.
Listening to Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by Every Child Counts. First Five, Alameda County.
Back to your host, Rona Renner.
Today, we're talking with Georgia Montgomery, a perinatal health educator at UCSF and Kaiser Permanente, and founder and program director for the Parents Center in San Rafael, and Rosario Sandoval Galvan, an international board-certified lactation consultant and public health nutrition associate for the Santa Clara County Public Health Department WIC program. And we're talking with you. It's great to have new callers, and we really want to hear your questions. You know, right before the break, right at the break, we were talking a little bit about resources. I just want to make sure people know how to find out more about WIC. You can go to www.cdph.ca.gov or call 888-942-9675. You can find out if you qualify, but even if you don't, there are wonderful handouts that Rosario brought in today to show us where you can get all kinds of handouts. And Rosario, you were going to say something about the workplace. Stephanie was talking about getting support for breastfeeding in the workplace. You wanted to say something about the law.
Yeah, and there is a law just to support moms and reassure them that they could get they have the right to continue collecting their breast milk. Actually, there's a $100 fine, from what I understand, $100 fine per day for not getting the support at work.
Wow. And that means you don't put a woman in a closet to breastfeed at work. Yes. You have to have a good environment. Georgia?
Yeah, there are laws to protect. We're trying to put some more teeth in it. There are a number of breastfeeding coalitions that are trying to advocate for breast pumps in the workplace, or at least a clean, well-lighted, non-bathroom mm-hmm. place. You certainly wouldn't make a lunch in a bathroom, so we don't want women feeding or pumping in a bathroom.
So it's really important that working moms know that they have rights and they should be supported to be able to pump so that they could keep feeding their baby breast milk if that's what they want to do, because it's a good thing if yes. they can do that.
Yes.
And if they get any kind of resistance, they should go to legal aid. And they can really help, because a lot of women are afraid of losing their jobs for requesting it. And it is a $100 fine per denied request.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. good to know. Thank if you have any questions about that, 1-877-372-KIDS. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's take a listen to some moms telling us about their experience with breastfeeding.
I recently spoke with some women about breastfeeding at the Birthways Baby Fair in Albany. Why did you choose to breastfeed?
I thought it'd be a nice way to connect with the baby and to also provide the nourishing breast milk to her.
I felt like it was really important for her to get all of the nutrients that my body could possibly pass on.
I thought it was the best to secure her, and the food is, I think, the best. Save money.
I also found it to be a good way for us to bond.
Yeah, it seems so great to have your baby near you. I mean, there is no world for that.
So what was, like, the most unexpectedly difficult part of it?
So I am one of those mothers that will admit that after 9 months, the idea of sharing my body for another couple years was pretty daunting.
It was harder to get started, to get a consistent latch.
Yes, every mom I've talked to says it's harder than they expect, and to really talk to a lactation consultant.
I just didn't necessarily like the sensation of breastfeeding.
My daughter tends to go from asleep to yowling quite quickly, and sort of catch that little moment with the nice yawns. That was tough.
At about 5 months, 3 weeks, I got a really bad flu. And as a result, my milk dried up. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to afford organic formula. And she was a baby that took to the bottle well. And so we were able to make that transition.
For me, I used the nipple guard, the nipple shield for my first child. And at first I was ashamed about that and really wanted to try to get off the nipple shield. And then I sort of just embraced that it was a good tool to enable me to continue breastfeeding.
If it's a struggle for some mothers and their children, there is no reason to feel guilty about that. There are other alternatives. And as much as it might be ideal to breastfeed, the ideal doesn't always happen, and women should be aware that there's flexibility there and have no shame about it.
I had a surgery, and I didn't know if I could breastfeed. So I did, and the last 5 months was only on my left side. And that was really difficult, but I did, so I encourage all the women to do.
For Childhood Matters, I'm producer Zan West. I'd like to thank all the women who took a moment to speak with me.
And I'd like to thank Zan West for speaking with the women at the baby fair that we went to that was put on by Birthways. For you, Georgia, some responses to these wonderful moms?
Well, one of the things that a lot of moms don't realize is that you should continue to breastfeed even though you have a cold or the flu. One of the things that can cause you to lose your milk production are the cold and flu medications out there. If you take a cold and flu medication that is not really great for lactating moms, and sometimes it's hard to tell, you can lose up to 50% of your milk production.
And so if you are sick, you need lots of fluids. You need someone to help take care of you so that you could continue to breastfeed. And moms should know that if your baby is sick, it's really important that you're breastfeeding also and that you continue to breastfeed.
Right. And if mom runs a fever or baby runs a fever, and especially if mom is pregnant, you really, really need to go in and get checked. Just get that little swab.
And any questions, you know, we're talking today with two great experts. If you have any questions, don't forget to go to your pediatrician and talk with them about this. Rosario, anything you want to say about what these moms were talking about?
Well, it's nice to hear moms how they feel. I mean, you learned from moms their concerns, and you as a breastfeeding supporter, you find what areas they need. But yeah, we want to encourage women to breastfeed and not make them feel bad for not continuing if they had difficulties. But hopefully in the future we'll provide more and more support so more moms could get through those difficulties or concerns.
Is Childhood Matters for the health and the happiness of kids.
Brought to you in part by First Five Contra Costa.
We're taking more calls. 1-877-372-KIDS. Let's talk with Tiffany now in Berkeley. Good morning, Tiffany.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm just waking up. Haven't had my coffee yet.
But you have the radio on.
I do.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's good to have your show back on KISS.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here. And we're on other stations, too, and reaching a lot of parents. What are you dealing with, Tiff?
I'm sorry?
What are you dealing with?
Oh, I had a question as to when to stop breastfeeding. I have two children, and my first one was premature, and I fed him, and premature babies tend to get a little bit sicker. And he actually didn't get sick at all. Like the whole first flu season, he got sick maybe twice. And then I got pregnant with my second child, and my doctor recommended that I quit breastfeeding because the hormones are a little bit different and things in the body, she said.
sorry, that's okay. I'm taking a deep breath here when you say that. Okay.
Anyway, and so I did, and immediately my older one, Ronan, got sick in the summer, in the middle of the summer, like four times within 3 months. It's quite amazing. And to me, that showed that, you know, he just wasn't getting my immunity from different things. And my second child, of course, has been, you know, quite healthy. So he's 18 months now, and I'm just kind of wondering at what point it gets odd or bizarre to breastfeed
right.
your child. Like,
right.
I joke around, and I say, oh, breastfeed, he's my baby, you know, he's my last child, I'm not going to have any more. I'll breastfeed him until he's 80, you know.
Right. Well, you know, Tiffany, in our culture, again, it's not as common for women to be breastfeeding an 18-month-old, whereas if you go to other countries, it's much more common. So there is that awkwardness for some people. I think Rosario is a perfect person to answer this, since she's still breastfeeding her 2-year-old. Go ahead, Rosario.
Hi. Well, one of the things, just reminding you that it's a personal choice, whatever you are comfortable with. If you're comfortable with breastfeeding your baby now and you are providing a lot of benefits for yourself and for your baby, so that the choice would be really personal. From what I understand, CDC, California Disease Control, recommends for as long as mom feels comfortable, that the age from when I went to a training, it really was 2.5 to 7 years old, was when a human child needs our breast milk, especially the first 5 years. So really, you want to do it for 1.5, 2 years is really a personal choice, and I praise you for continuing.
And again, you don't see too many older kids
yes.
in our culture, so it is something to grapple with. Often you can also tell when either you're ready or your child is. Georgia, how do you advise parents on this subject?
Well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate you on the amazing job you did with your premature baby.
Yes.
That's really incredible. That you could give such incredible health benefits to your baby by doing this. I feel also that it is a personal choice. And also follow your gut. I mean, follow your own instincts. Whatever the medical profession tells you, it needs to resonate with you as a parent, as a mother, and you are the expert on your child. So really have confidence in your instincts. And, you know, what your gut is telling you to do for your children.
And I think, you know, there are cues. I breastfed my kids at all different lengths. And there are cues from your child. There are cues from you. And what you might do, Tiffany, is watch and see, you know, why do I breastfeed? How do I feel about it? Is it draining me? Is it not draining me?
Yes.
I think you really have to check in with yourself about it. Some women stop because they realize they just can't. They don't feel comfortable doing it anymore. Other women just breastfeed a little bit at night, and others go the whole hog. Mm-hmm. So it's a very personal decision, Tiffany. So I think that's your answer.
And then so you still continue to pass on some of the benefits until up age 7, did you say?
Yes. So our breast milk doesn't expire, from what a lot of people have said. It always expires. There's a lot of myths in a lot of cultures. No, so you continue for as long as you feel comfortable. You keep breastfeeding. You keep producing what your baby needs. The baby is nursing, or toddler's nursing for nighttime. You continue providing what baby needs for nighttime.
Yeah, so it's really up to you. So there you go. Another thing that there's no clear answer on, but what you're doing sounds really good. You know, I'd like to give you a couple of passes to the Play Cafe. Play Cafe is on Keeler Avenue in Oakland.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, take good
care. You guys are doing a great job.
Take good care. Bye-bye. 1-877-372-KIDS. What questions do you have about breastfeeding or feeding your child? You know, and I want to ask you, Rosario, about introducing solid foods. This is a subject that parents often feel confused about. I know that most pediatricians now suggest that parents wait till 6 months unless there's a reason not to.
Yes. Very rare where it would need to be before 6 months. And we probably want to make sure that we talk to the doctor. And if the doctor especially is recommending at 3 to 4 months, I would encourage you to get a second opinion from a nutrition counselor or another doctor. Not that I want to... I'm pretty sure that doctor means well, but the research is still very recent, so there might be that the doctor doesn't have the most recent information. So that the AAP, American Academy of American Pediatric, has approved to start at 6 months, continue only breast milk for at least 6 months. So we start out at 6 months. But again, if the baby was born preterm, then it'll be 6 months from the time the baby was supposed to be born.
And also, there are some babies who just... you know, come 5 months and it's just clear for some reason to the parents that they need to start having some solid foods. Mm-hmm. They may introduce it a little earlier. Georgia, how do you advise parents about starting the solid foods?
Well, one of the things that I like to do is sort of throw away the numbers. And the reason for that is babies
That's
develop
a good idea.
Differently. So when they can sit up and manipulate objects independently on purpose, and perhaps if they're at the table with you and start reaching for your food
right.
and wanting to participate, that might be a very good cue. One of the things that parents should know is that only 2-4% of babies actually are allergic to foods, but under 6 months, you can actually develop allergies by introducing foods too soon.
Mm-hmm. So that's why they're saying not to introduce foods too soon, so that you're not going to introduce those allergies, right?
Right.
And the first foods that people usually introduce, Rosario, through WIC, what do they suggest?
We recommend baby cereal. Baby cereal because of the iron. Babies are starting to need iron during that time. And then gradually starting one new food every 4 to 5 days to look out for any allergic reactions. I know the numbers. I'm trying to stay away from the numbers. But no,
that's
you're right.
About a week.
About a week to see what how baby's doing. At the same time, there might be that the baby didn't like it that day. Maybe you try the next day. One new food. But baby cereal we would recommend first.
What about what you think, Georgia?
Well, there are a couple of schools of thought on that.
Yes.
And one is that cereals are good as long as they're whole grain. They're not wheat because that's introducing an allergen.
Yes.
Barley and oatmeal are good. But what people are finding out is that there are plenty of carbohydrates in breast milk. So some people are actually saying, you know, let's lean towards proteins, maybe meat, something like that.
Yeah. Wow. And I've also heard that it's good to make your own. And I used to do this, and my daughter-in-law does this, Marcia. She's great. You can steam your own vegetables. And then you can put them in a blender, and then you put them in these little containers in the freezer. Mm-hmm. So now you're making your own baby food, and you don't have to buy the little jars that are expensive. And some doctors also suggest that you start with a vegetable rather than a fruit like applesauce, because the vegetables aren't as sweet, and you're letting the child develop a palate that's not quite so sweet. Does that make sense, Rosario?
Yes, that's what WIC would also recommend, to wait. Do the vegetables first, so yes, the baby cereal, the vegetables, the meats, and then we could do the fruit. So the fruits and fruit juice till maybe 8 months, or waiting a little further for that.
Good. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from you about how you begin to feed your baby. What kinds of foods do you make? How do you do it? Any resources? And in a moment, we'll be talking with you.
This show is pre-recorded. We won't be taking any calls.
Childhood Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-372-KIDS.
Do you know someone who is pregnant? When a mom-to-be is 28 weeks or 7 months pregnant, she should make sure she feels her baby move every day. It's called kick counts. Research shows that kick counts are an excellent sign of the baby's well-being. If mom doesn't feel her baby kick at least 10 times in 1 hour, call your healthcare provider right away. By talking about kick counts, you could save a baby's life. This message is brought to you by Alameda County Public Health Department, Children's Hospital Oakland, and First 5 Alameda County.
What a day. From the grocery store to the doctor's office, it's nice to sit back and let Sophia play.
Definitely, but I feel it's important to have the kids in special programs. I'm always learning how competitive school is, even at this young age.
Me too. I worry I'm not doing enough to teach Sophia the skills she'll need, even though she's just 4. I read an article yesterday that said play is a great way for children to learn.
So you're telling me that when my kids play at preschool or at home, they're learning something?
The article said play is the way children develop their understanding of the world. So when kids play with friends or pretend to count money or rhyme words or build with blocks, they're actually learning in different ways, socially, physically, and intellectually. They learn how to think critically and problem solve, making them more confident.
That makes sense. The other day, Danny was so proud when he and Sophia built a fire station in the sandbox. He is learning when he's having fun, so we can relax and encourage the learning they do when they play.
Mommy, Mommy, look what I made!
Wow, you built a ramp to make your cars race faster.
This message brought to you by the Early Childhood Funders. Play. It's the way young children learn.
This is Nurse Rona letting you know that you can connect with Childhood Matters anytime on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. Now you can get the latest tips, resources, book recommendations, and share your thoughts with other parents and become part of our virtual community. As always, you can sign up for our podcasts and download past shows, community reports, and interviews. Visit childhoodmatters.org to learn more. That's childhoodmatters.org. And tell your friends.
Good reading habits start early. In fact, flashcards and fancy games aren't necessary for building early literacy skills. All that is needed are books, your child, and you. Young children who listen to stories with their families are better prepared for school and life. Here are some tips to help select books for young children. Babies like board books that are brightly colored with photos of other children and familiar objects. Choose books with different textures that babies can explore through touch. Also, toddlers like books that show characters doing familiar things like playing and smiling. Pick books with only a few words per page and stories that rhyme. And for preschoolers, read predictable books so your child will begin to recognize words and phrases while having fun saying them with you. Don't hesitate to reread favorite books. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First 5 County Commission by visiting www.first5kids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First 5.
We are children of the world, watching every day come by.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by First 5 Santa Clara County.
Here's more with Nurse Rona.
We're talking with Georgia Montgomery, a perinatal health educator at UCSF and Kaiser Permanente, and founder and program director for the Parents Center in San Rafael, and Rosario Sandoval Galvan, an international board-certified lactation consultant and public health nutrition associate for the Santa Clara County Public Health Department WIC program. And we're talking with you, 1-877-372-KIDS. As you're waking up this morning, maybe you're breastfeeding your baby, maybe you're cooking breakfast. Call us, tell us about any questions you have, but also your successes. Georgia, you were saying something on the break about a study about the sweetness of breast milk. Tell me about that.
Right. Well, Rosario was talking about introducing vegetables and all of that because we're trying.
I think I brought that up.
Was that you? Okay, sorry. But what we're thinking these days is that breast milk is already quite sweet. I don't know how many of you remember or have ever tasted breast milk, but it is already quite sweet, so there's not as much of a danger as we used to think that they'll develop a sweet tooth. So what we're actually looking at is introducing the first vegetables, maybe yams or carrots or something that's slightly sweet, so that they'll actually end up really liking vegetables first, yes. As opposed to introducing fruit
Well, you know, that's good because I know that when my grandson Maceo was little, we had apples and we cooked the wonderful applesauce for him. And I put in just the slightest bit of sugar. So you really don't have to put in salt and sugar and things like that. Let's take another call. We have Loanda now from Hillsborough joining us. Good morning, Loanda.
Hi, Rona.
Thanks.
How's it going?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
So I have a question about a pill that I've heard of that some of my friends have been taking that's a pill to induce lactation for non-birth mothers. And I'm interested because it seems a little scary to me to be inducing lactation, but I'm just wondering what type of research has been done on it.
Well, it seems like if someone is adopting a baby, they may really want to have that experience. So I don't know much about it. Rosario, do you?
Unfortunately, I don't know exactly what it's called, but there is a pill. And for a lot of women who want to experience that, the nurtureness and provide that chance to breastfeed their babies, we strongly encourage that. So there is a pill. I just don't know what it's called now, but it would be good to talk to their doctor. Their doctor might know that pill. Their OBGYN might know that pill. But also, if they don't produce enough milk, there's always donor milk that they could get at Mother's Milk Bank. They could see if they're eligible for that. Or if I think it's like a couple of dollars an ounce. So it is expensive, but there is ways to try to induce lactation.
Good. Do you know anything about it, Georgia?
Not a whole lot. I teach a newborn care class for adoptive parents, and I know a lot of them are quite interested. But if you don't, if you're not able to induce lactation, you might consider SNS, which is the simulated nursing system.
Good. Yes. Simulated nursing system. I want to take a listen right now to thank you so much for your call, Loanda. It sounds like we can get you some resources also.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to take a listen now to Patty Rundle. She's with Baby Milk Action, and let's hear what she has to say.
This is assistant producer Anthony Giorgetti, and I'm speaking with Patty Rundle, policy director for Baby Milk Action.
Baby Milk Action is a tiny little organization based in England, in Cambridge, and we're part of a big network in over 100 countries, all working on trying to make sure that mothers and babies and fathers get really independent information on which to make their decisions about how to feed their baby. We run things like the Nestle boycott, which is the biggest food company in the world and is still promoting its products in ways that really harm health and mislead parents. What they tend to do is put claims on their products which imply that the product is better than it is, and they don't put the warnings on the products, so they don't tell you how to make the product up safely. They don't tell you that the product is not sterile and actually might contain a bacteria in it. And what we find is that the countries where they're allowed to get away with it, they will do all sorts of promotional tactics, advertising, gifts to doctors, free samples to mothers. These things are still going on. We've done surveys to find that, you know, in England, for example, 30% of women think the adverts are telling them that the formula is as good, if not better, than breast milk. So we know this works, and we know that actually anything that goes wrong with breastfeeding, sooner or later the mother will fall and think that she's going to automatically bottle feed. We're trying to make sure that the woman gets the support, gets the information, and that the companies stay out of the hospital and just provide their product for those who really need it. Breastfeeding is absolutely all your baby needs for the first 6 months of life. You don't need all these other things. It's got far more health-giving properties in it. It'll protect your baby from infection. It has the perfect fats, the perfect nutrition, the perfect proteins. Everything about it is adapted precisely to your baby. So when you see these adverts and things telling you that that other product will make your baby's eye better or make your baby cleverer, just don't listen to it because it's absolute nonsense. And your breast milk itself is the perfect food. You don't need anything else for the first 6 months. And after that, you can carry on breastfeeding. Of course, your maternity leaves are terrible here and you need more, but you can do it in the evenings and whenever you get time. And then add family foods, nice, fresh, you know, family foods, and that's all your baby needs. You don't need to resort to these packet foods if you don't need them. Go on to our website, which is www.babymilkaction.org. See, well, what is the truth here? are they really telling me the truth? And then if they're not, report them.
For Childhood Matters, this is Anthony Georgette.
Thank you, Anthony, and also Patty Rundle of Baby Milk Action. As we finish up here, Rosario, tell us anything you want to respond to there and also how people can find out about WIC.
Yes, the WIC program, again, if we could do the website again, is
cdph.ca.gov.
Yes, and just click on WIC, and they'll provide you a lot of good information on that website. Breast milk is the best, as we know. I mean, the favorite for the baby. Well, we just encourage to get all the support at WIC. Even though WIC provides some supplement, we prefer not to provide it, as we know that breast milk is better for the baby. So we'd rather provide as much breastfeeding support. You're returning to work. We could loan you a pump. So help us help you.
Rosario Sandoval Galvan, it's really wonderful to meet you, and thank you for all the work you do in the community. Georgia Montgomery, any response to what Patty had to say, Rundle?
Oh, absolutely. I'm just so happy always to hear that the international community is kind of rising up and going, let's get the formula out of the hospitals. But I also want to mention that, yes, IQ is higher in babies that are breastfed. So you're optimizing brain development by giving species-specific food, not cow's milk, that's for cows, human milk for humans.
Very, very simple. Tell us how people can find out about this new center that you helped start.
Well, just go to the website. It's the parents is plural, center.com, theparentscenter.com, and you'll find us, lots of classes and support, education and referrals.
It's really great to know that you're doing that work and you're doing it throughout the Bay Area. I hope you'll come back and see us again for sure. Okay. And today, again, we're talking about breastfeeding because it's so important that women have the support they need for this. I know that when I was a new mom, you know, long time ago, I didn't know if it was okay to breastfeed in public. I didn't know so much. I didn't have a lactation consultant to go to. So right now, moms out there, you can get all the help you need. So don't hesitate to ask for it. And your baby and you will be really happy that you do.
I'm producer Zan West. The following is an interview I conducted with International Board Certified Lactation Consultant Susanna McCullough. She is the Senior Lactation Consultant and Breastfeeding Peer Counselor Coordinator for the County of Sonoma WIC program.
Many of you have heard about the health benefits of breastfeeding for both mother and baby. However, a lot of people are surprised to hear that there are risks to formula feeding. Some of the risks associated with formula feeding are increased risk of SIDS, increased risk of childhood obesity, and increased risk of gastrointestinal as well as respiratory infections in baby. Also, many people are surprised to hear that formula is not sterile and that there have been incidences of formula being recalled due to bacterial contamination and missing ingredients. You know, many people don't give a lot of thought to breastfeeding while they're still pregnant. It's common to be so focused on the pregnancy and upcoming delivery that how you're going to feed your baby takes the backstage. During your pregnancy is actually the perfect time to start learning about breastfeeding and finding a support system. I talk with many women who tell me that they couldn't breastfeed their previous children due to not having any access to breastfeeding support or information. Now that they're receiving support when they need it, they're able to successfully breastfeed. So where can you go to receive support and education about breastfeeding? Well, many WIC agencies offer a free breastfeeding peer counselor program. The peer counselors provide breastfeeding education and support starting during pregnancy and continuing after the baby is born. To see if you qualify to receive WIC, call your local WIC agency. You can find them by Googling California WIC. If you don't qualify for WIC, La Leche League offers free breastfeeding support groups as well as telephone counseling throughout the Bay Area. To find your local group, go to LLLI.org. or call 1-800-LA-LECHE. Also, both WIC and La Leche League can refer you to an IBCLC, International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. It is important to ask if the person you're seeing has these initials. It can be very confusing to mothers all the different types of breastfeeding certifications, but IBCLCs have the highest level of training and have passed a board exam. Even though breastfeeding is a learned art for mothers, the amazing thing is that babies are actually born knowing how to breastfeed. By keeping your baby against your chest, skin to skin, as often as possible, and as soon as possible after the birth, your baby will be in the perfect place to practice breastfeeding. Many babies actually latch themselves onto the breast when mothers keep them skin to skin. The main point to keep in mind is that if you are experiencing breastfeeding concerns or problems, there is a solution. Too often, women think that the only solution is to use formula. And as I mentioned earlier, there are many risks associated with formula feeding. When breastfeeding is going well, it will be 100% comfortable for both you and your baby, and you will feel confident about your milk supply. If this is not happening, make sure you seek out help from one of the resources that I mentioned. What awaits you is an experience that many women describe as one of the greatest joys of their life.
Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners. I'm grateful to our team, senior producer Zan West, producers Lacey Daniel and Felsha Zuschlag, Lorenzo Pasola at the controls, and Peter B. Collins of Collins Media Services. I'm forever grateful to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Nurse Sirona saying goodbye until next week. And parents, remember, spend time with your kids and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are the family. Give everybody a say.
Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.